Today on the Gary Zimak Show, we'll talk about the importance of avoiding hasty judgments, and we'll look at some great readings from Tuesday of the 20th week in Ordinary Time. Stay right there, because it's all coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'll be here with you for the next 30 minutes. I thank you for stopping by the show today. Got lots of good stuff that we'll be discussing. It's Tuesday, so we'll look at the book, The Imitation of Christ, and today's lesson specifically in avoiding hasty judgments. Boy, that's something that many of us fall victim to. We'll talk about why that's not a good idea. Before we do that, we'll look at the Mass readings for Tuesday of the 20th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading from the book of Judges. I was at Mass today really listening to this reading, and it really struck me. This is the reading that's used as part of a passage, the passages that I use in my latest book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity. It tells of the story of Gideon, and there's a great message there. Gospel's great, too, so we've got lots of interesting things to talk about on the show, but most importantly, how are you today? Hope you're doing well. Hope you've got your beverage, your snack, and you're ready to get started. We're going to hang out for the next 30 minutes or so. Earlier on today, I posted on my blog the first official notice. You know about this because I've been talking about this for a long time. Of total consecration to Jesus through Mary. We'll be kicking that off on September the 4th. We'll begin our 33-day preparation using Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. I have all the details on there. Now, I am asking you this year, I haven't always done that in the past, to sign up by putting your email address into my database so that I can keep track of how many people we have going through the consecration and so that I'm able to send out emails if necessary. So make sure you do that, even if you're on my regular mailing list. Make sure you go to followingthetruth.com, click on the image for total consecration, and that'll take you to a post where you'll see how to enter your email address. That's all you need to do is your email address. You don't even need to give your name or anything like that. And then you'll get a confirmation email back thanking you for signing up, but there'll be a link in there. You need to click on that link to show that you're a real person and that you really did want to sign up for it. And once you do that, you'll be all set. But just make sure you look for that email that comes back to you. Check your spam folder if you don't see it in your inbox. And then we're going to get started. I did put in the blog post that on September the 3rd, which is the day before we officially begin, that's a Thursday evening, we'll spend some time talking about total consecration. But I'm pretty sure that sometime within the next 2 weeks, and I haven't decided when, I'm also going to be doing an introductory show because I don't really want to let it go until the very last minute. So we'll use that show before the September the 3rd show to really outline the process. Here's what we're going to do over the next 33 days. But even before that, I want to do a general program about total consecration. Stay tuned. I'll let you know when that's coming. And you know what was really cool, too? First, I have to take a sip of my beverage. Today's beverage du jour is just a nice big glass of water. It's a really warm day here in southern New Jersey, so nice cool glass of water is the way to go, I think. I was excited to see that my new book, my forthcoming book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, is now orderable or pre-orderable on Amazon.com. So you can check that out if you're interested. It's really not coming out till April of 2016. But you never know. Sometimes my books have been released in a little early when there was enough of a demand. So if you're interested in ordering it, remember that you'll lock in the price. Even if it goes down in price, you'll get the lower price. But if it goes up in price, you won't have to pay any extra. So it might be a good idea to pre-order it if you're interested. You're not going to get charged until the book actually ships, so you have nothing to lose there. But it's kind of cool that the book is now on Amazon. Let me see if there's any other news that I can think of. No, not at the moment. The total consecration is the big thing. Believe it or not, it's less than a month away. I mean, just a few short weeks away, really. And I'm hoping to get as many people as possible. So spread the word. Let everybody know they're welcome. They don't even have to leave their home. They don't absolutely have to purchase the book from Father Gately. But if they want to, my friend Ray Mooney is offering a very substantially discounted price for the book at myconsecration.org. His site is myconsecration.org. I think they're asking for a $4 donation for the book. It is a... It's the same book we used 2 years ago, but they streamlined it so that it looks like a magazine booklet. Now, it's a little easier to deal with, a little less expensive to send out. As a result, they are it looks a little smaller, but it really is the same book. But if you have the book from before, or if you just don't want to go order the book, we're going to do all the readings on the radio program, so that will work too. All right, but as always, if you have questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Also, remember that I'd love to speak at your parish, and I have been getting several, in the past couple days, I'm really grateful for this, several inquiries about speaking at different parishes. So if you want to book me for either maybe this Advent, for an Advent mission, or for a Lenten mission, you're going to have to let me know soon, because the dates are filling up. And I think that's a good thing, but just know that I would like to come to your parish too. You can find out more information by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com. It'll give you all the info that you need, or you can email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. It's that time again. It is time to begin the show with a prayer. You ready to go? Let's do it then. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us another day to love you, another day to do your will, another day to get to know you. We're very grateful for these gifts. We thank you for all of the many blessings that you have given us in our lives. We especially thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who suffered and died for us and rose from the dead so that we could be one day able to live with you in heaven. Father, we ask you to bless us, our family members, those around us. We ask you to have mercy on anyone who has fallen away from you, who has lost touch, and who may be headed in the right direction. We ask you to help them and to draw them closer to you. We ask you to help the sick, the lonely, the anxious, those who are dealing with addiction, those who are on the brink of despair, or maybe completely in despair. We ask you to be with anyone who is struggling financially, anyone who is dealing with religious persecution or extreme weather situations. I ask you, Father, to speak through me on this radio program, to use me to proclaim your message, and please open our minds and hearts to be receptive to your message. We also ask you to accept any of our own personal needs. Help us with them. We turn them over to you now. We trust you, because we know that you can handle our problems a lot better than we can. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, we now turn to you and ask for your prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, well, sorry for that little stretch there. Oh, man. Sometimes I get too comfortable on this program. I'm just thanking you for tuning into the show. It's great to be here with you. Got lots of good stuff to go through now. And just a reminder that we're here every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. You can always listen to the podcast either by going to my website, followingthetruth.com, by going to blogtalkradio.com, or by going to iTunes. Now, keep in mind, on iTunes, the podcast appears 24 hours after the show airs. So today's show you could listen to tomorrow, and so on and so forth. But a lot of different ways to listen to the show, and all of them are not going to cost you anything. I thank you for your donations, though, by the way. And that's the reason we're still able to do this, because you are keeping me on the air, so I appreciate that. Let's do some readings now. Tuesday of the 20th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading, it's a little lengthy, but it's got a great story. This is from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 11 through 24. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O champion." Gideon said to him, "My Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wondrous deeds of which our fathers told us when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' For now the Lord has abandoned us and has delivered us into the power of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have, and save Israel from the power of Midian. It is I who send you." But Gideon answered him, "Please, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My family is the lowliest in Manasseh, and I am the most insignificant in my father's house." "I shall be with you," the Lord said to him, "and you will cut down Midian to the last man." Gideon answered him, "If I find favor with you, give me a sign that you are speaking with me. Do not depart from here, I pray you, until I come back to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." He answered, "I will await your return." So Gideon went off and prepared a kid and a measure of flour in the form of unleavened cakes. Putting the meat in a basket and a broth in a pot, he brought them out to him under the terebinth and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and unleavened cakes and lay them on this rock, then pour out the broth." When he had done so, the angel of the Lord stretched out the tip of the staff to be held, and he touched the meat with unleavened cakes. Thereupon a fire came up from the rock that consumed the meat and unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord disappeared from sight. Gideon, now aware that it had been the angel of the Lord, said, "Alas, Lord God, that I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." The Lord answered him, "Be calm, do not fear, you shall not die." So Gideon built there an altar to the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. Now, this is a great story for a lot of different reasons. Gideon, well, first of all, the Israelites are being threatened by the Midianites. The Israelites had a lot of enemies. They had a lot of enemies who were out to destroy them. The Midianites are one example of an enemy that was seeking to destroy Israel. Gideon was beating wheat in the winepress to save it from the Midianites, because what was going to happen is they would come and just destroy the wheat fields belonging to the Israelites. That's the way these Midianites worked. But the angel appeared to him and said, "The Lord's with you." Right away, Gideon stopped him and said, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? Where are his wondrous deeds of which our fathers told us when they said that the Lord has delivered us from slavery in Egypt, or delivered us, yeah, did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt?" That's what he was talking about. He was questioning, if the Lord's really with us, then why are all these bad things happening to us at the present time? And that, you know, that's a question we can all ask. But the answer is, just because something that appears to be bad happens to you doesn't mean that it really is bad. Because God's ways are not our ways. Everything that happens to us happens according to the will of God. And we need to remember that. So that even when something unpleasant happens, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because God is allowing it to happen. So Gideon asked the question. He didn't understand. What happened to the God who saved our people in the past? Where did he go? And then he was told that the Lord has not abandoned them, and he's being sent. He's the one being sent to save Israel from the power of Midian. Now, can you imagine that? He's getting this message, the angels relaying this message to Gideon from the Lord. That Gideon is being called to do this. And Gideon said, "Hey, listen, I'm the weakest guy in the world. You picked the wrong man. How can I save Israel? My family is the lowest in Manasseh, and I am the most insignificant in my father's house." But you see what was happening there? Gideon was getting a little proud. He was letting his pride get the best of him. And we do that. It seems initially that we're being humble when we say things like, oh, I could never do that. But in reality, once we know that God's calling us to do something, as was the case here, and we still say, that I can't do this, then we're being proud because we're not accepting the fact that God will help us. And that's what we have happening here. But the Lord, through the angel, spoke to Gideon, and after he asked for a sign, and let him know that he would be able to do this, and he would give him a sign. And this went on. There were some other signs that Gideon would ask for. They're not in this particular reading. But he was told that I'm going to be with you. And I think the message for us is, whatever God asks us to do, including those things that we just kind of get plunged into, we don't really have a say in, suffering of one kind or another, God's going to get us through it, because he wouldn't allow us to be in a situation if he didn't give us what we need to get through it. So that's the message for the first reading, the responsorial psalm. The Lord speaks of peace to his people, Psalm 85. I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for he proclaims peace to his people and to his faithful ones and to those who put in him their hope. Kindness and truth shall meet. Justice and peace shall kiss. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land shall yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him, and salvation along the way of his steps. At the time of this first reading, at the time of the Psalms, Israel had a lot of enemies. They were not necessarily at peace because they were threatened. They had many different threats. You and I are not all that different. Let me explain why. We have a lot of unseen or invisible enemies in our lives. We have temptations all around us. We have the threat of the evil one who's always out to get us, who's always out to find a way to get us to commit sin, which, if the sin is bad enough, could affect our eternal salvation. So it's a big deal, and it is a constant threat. But due to the mercy of the Lord, he can protect us by giving us the grace to overcome any possible sin. You know, we could be tempted, but the devil can't make us sin. So we have to remember that we do have that help from the Lord, just as the Israelites did. And with God's help, you and I can make it to heaven. Christ opened up the gates of heaven, and in order to help us to avoid sinning, we have grace. And when we do slip up, what do we have? We have the sacrament of confession. So we've got a lot of good tools to protect us against the invisible enemies that are all around us. The gospel is Matthew 19, verses 23 through 30. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The message here for us is that, yeah, there are a lot of distractions. In addition to the unseen enemies, we have the potential distraction of material things and even people that can hurt our relationship with the Lord. Because if we're too attached to either people or things, then our focus can be taken off of the Lord, and we might be afraid to do what's required, which is to literally, or really figuratively, give up our lives, so that we can follow him. I mean, again, we've talked about this before. Not everyone is called to be a martyr and to physically give up your life, but we are all called to, in a figurative sense, give up our lives for the Lord. Once we follow him, there are things that we're going to have to walk away from. So that's important for us to recognize in life, that we have this challenge. And yeah, it's hard if you have many possessions to be able to get to heaven. But God said, or the Lord Jesus told us, that with God all things are possible. So even though it's difficult, it is possible. The problem arises when we care more about things than the Lord. We have to get our priorities straight. And if we care more about things, it's going to be tricky for us to be able to get to heaven. But the Lord is saying to us, if you put me first in your life, it is possible for you not only to feel, to experience joy and peace in your life, but it's possible for you to get to heaven. And we look back at that first reading, we see how they're connected, because Gideon thought it was impossible for him to remain, or to be victorious with such a threatening enemy as the Midianites. He thought he was not going to be able to get it done by himself, which he was not able to get done by himself. But none of us are asked to go through life by ourselves. The Lord's here to help us, and he wants to help us. So if we ask him, if we continue to lean on him, it is definitely possible for us to get to heaven. And that belief is known as the virtue of hope. We hope that we can get to heaven with the help of the Lord. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I want to talk about hasty judgments now. Now, every Tuesday on the show, we open up the book, The Imitation of Christ, by Thomas A. Kempis, and we take a look at some of the most powerful lessons you will ever hear. This is an unbelievable book. The version I'm using is from the Catholic Book Publishing Company. It's under $10, still available. Really, really good translation. It's easy to read, but yet at the same time, the message isn't diluted at all. Sometimes you, in the effort to make a book more readable, the message gets lost, but not so the case here. Today we're looking at on avoiding hasty judgments. Watch over yourself and take care not to judge the actions of other people. We gain nothing by criticizing others, but often are mistaken and thereby offend God. But to judge yourself and your own actions is always profitable. We want to be careful that we don't judge the actions or criticize other people, but we want to look inside of ourselves, judge ourselves, and our own actions. Now, let's differentiate. Seeing somebody do something sinful is different than judging them. Because when we judge them, what we do is we say they knew what they were doing wrong and they did it anyway. We're getting inside of their head, in other words. And we can't do that because we don't know their motives. Only the Lord knows why anybody does what they do. But on the other hand, we can look at our own actions and things we do, and we can judge ourselves because we know why we did what we did. And that's a great way to grow in virtue, by looking at our mistakes and accepting them and asking for the help to get better. Okay, so that's a good thing to do, but we don't want to judge other people. We often judge a thing according to our preference, and therefore our judgment is emotional rather than objective. This stubbornness in our own opinions would not dominate our judgments if our hearts were set on God. But there is often in us some inward tendency or some outward attraction which carries us along with it. Many are secretly self-seeking, and therefore do their own will, and not the will of God, though sometimes they are unaware of it. As long as things go their way, they appear to be at peace, but if they meet opposition, they become impatient and depressed. Often through diversities of opinions, dissension springs up between friends and neighbors, and even among religious and devout persons. An old habit is not easily overcome, and people are reluctant to be led beyond their own views. If you cling more to your own reason or will, rather than to humble obedience of Jesus Christ, you will only with difficulty become an enlightened person. For it is the will of God that we be perfectly subject to Him, and rising above our own reason and will by an ardent love. We have to be really cautious when it comes to judging, especially hastily judging other people without knowing all the facts, without knowing what they are thinking. And by doing it, not in a sense of charitable love, but almost in a sense of superiority. Sometimes we'll look at someone, and I often think that we do this, and I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I'm not immune from this. I fall into this trap too. We do it to make ourselves feel better. Because if we could look at the flaws of somebody else, I could possibly start to feel better about myself. But for every flaw that other people have, I could have five flaws that I don't look at. You see what I mean? It's silly, and it's not morally healthy for us to start fault-finding before we look at our own faults. Because my faults are the only ones that I can control. I can't control your faults, but I can control mine. All right, so listen, if you have questions, let me know, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Now, God willing, I plan to be back tomorrow for our Wednesday program. Each Wednesday on the show, we feature the book My Daily Bread by Father Anthony Paone, which is another great classic book, very small book, but really has some excellent advice. We're going to do that tomorrow. Thursday, what does God want me to do? And then Friday, we do our weekending doubleheader. We look at the power of kindness, followed by a discussion on the Sunday Mass readings. And again, before I leave you tonight, I want to remind you that we are at some point within the next 2 weeks probably going to do a show about total consecration. And then on September the 3rd, it'll be the final countdown when I go through the steps, here's what the next 33 days are going to look like, and we'll begin officially on Friday the 4th of September. So I really hope you're going to be able to do total consecration to Jesus through Mary with us. It is a life changer. You are going to grow closer to not only Mary, but closer to Jesus as well. If you don't like it, I always tell people this, you could stop anywhere along the way. It's a 33-day preparation period, or even if you make your total consecration, you can simply tell the Lord you changed your mind, you don't want to go through with it, and it can be revoked just like that. But I've said before, I've never known of anybody who, once they made total consecration, was not pleased with it. So please consider doing it. It's a great thing. Details can be found on my website, followingthetruth.com. If you haven't signed up, make sure you do that, so I'll have a mailing list. And we're going to get started. But until then, we're going to keep doing these themed shows. And just let me know if you have any questions. Again, I thank you for your financial donations. If you could send a few more my way, that would help me. This has been a difficult year or so. The economy's still not that great. And donations have fallen off somewhat. So if you could help me out, I would really appreciate it. Know that I'm praying for you. Please keep me in your prayers as well. And I hope to see you tomorrow night if you're able to make it. If I'm able to make it, I plan to be here, but we'll leave that up to the Lord. Until next time, have a great night. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Take care.